welcome back to another episode of the Music with Matt podcast, the podcast where we explore all things music and how it intersects with people's professional lives. Today, we're taking a break from the guests once again, and we're just going to talk amongst ourselves.
That's right. Yeah. And conveniently, we've set microphones in front of us, so it'll capture that. Yeah. But otherwise, this is just a kind of a regular conversation here.
I'm Wes.
I'm John.
And this literally is what we talk about in all of our spare time. It's hilarious, actually, how often we talk about music. And it's actually more hilarious how there's no end to this conversation.
No. It is sort of a this like perpetual kind of a conversation, which is cool. And I was thinking, you know, I think that talking about the, you know, subtleties, nuances, smaller details, finer details of anything really is cool, because someone who may not know much about it can appreciate the depth of the conversation. But then someone who is genuinely very much immersed in this case, like music, in terms of the industry or creation or whatever, can also really appreciate it because they are able to speak on the more subtle, nuanced, more finer detailed things, you know? And so here I am justifying the huge extent of conversations that we've had about this particular subject, which is producers.
Yeah, part three. Producers part three. Yeah. So producers part one.
Yeah, recap, yeah.
We spoke
about what a producer is.
Yep.
And then featured Dave Otero.
And then we talked a bit about metal mixing. Episode two, we talked a bit about Max Martin. Talked a lot about Max Martin.
So the feature was Max Martin,
And his influence in pop music.
Right.
And,
but, and I think, though, although we heavily focus on Max Martin, the idea with that episode was like highlighting some central themes of what a producer represents.
Yep.
For Max Martin, it was this notion of key aspects to his approach that he brought to the table as a producer that were not partial to the artist, that were very much partial to him as a producer.
Producer-centric,
which then manifested itself in different ways with the different artists that he used. But like fundamentally, we did focus on, that approach that he took as a producer and what identified his fingerprint, as it were, as a producer.
Yeah, and just also the idea of identifying what it is a producer does. It's hard to describe because they all do different things, but Max Martin is an example of a producer who's very involved in the song creation process, because he writes the song, he helps record the song, he helps mix the song, helps arrange the song,
Especially
all of the above.
You know, the polar opposite, we think of sometimes, we talk about sometimes like huge...
Rick Rubin, for example.
Oh.
You know, very...
That's an episode. We got to do an episode on Rick Rubin.
We should.
Oh, he's like Max Martin, where like the variety of artists that he's worked with through many years of working as a producer is incredible.
But he's unlike Max Martin in that he's very, very hands-off in the song creation process.
That's true. And that's an interesting focal point as well, actually. So, stay tuned for that. maybe that's number
four. But we did have a topic for today.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Still in the context of producing, for sure, and the different kind of role. But what I was about to say is that, you know, sometimes, especially in large-scale pop songs, when you look at, you know, the liner notes or whatever. I mean, no one actually reads a CD booklet or whatever anymore. But like the credits for a song. Yeah. meaning you.
Yes.
Yeah. Some people do. Raise your hand.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah,
Westgrove. Yeah. Or, I mean, a record. You'll see that. But on vinyl. But anyway, you know, sometimes I feel like you and I laugh at how someone just merely sitting in the room and they're like, oh, I get a producer credit. Great. Yeah. You know, just because they're sort of. They were a part of the process. Max Martin is the polar opposite of that. Max Martin is just like, as you highlighted in that episode, he's like the one that it's kind of like start to finish, very much involved in the whole process, and from ideation to execution, and then like the production of that whole thing. So, and I think again, it's interesting to highlight how the role of the producer changes based on who it is that's producing. Right.
And the type of music and the artists that they're working with.
And the artists that they're working with. Yeah.
Again, there's many variables in any creative endeavor.
Yeah. Does Max Martin, just to think about Max Martin for a second, I don't remember if we spoke about this in the last episode. Is he hired to produce an album? Is it more like the singles?
Both. He's done.
Okay.
He's definitely produced full albums for massive pop stars, but he's, especially as he's gotten more notoriety, you'll see his name on a song off of an album, right? Because
that's what I was even thinking about too, and just the notion of what is different between producers. Dave Otero, for example, he's on for an album.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not having, I mean, maybe with a few exceptions, but like if you're a metal...
But I think it's a bit different from pop to metal, whereas metal's there's like a band, right? And you have, everybody has a specific role. I'm the guitar player for this album. I'm the bass player. I'm the vocalist doing these things, right? Whereas pop music, it's like, you know, on this song, I know a guitar player who plays really well for this type of sound. True. And then on the next song on the record, oh, I know a really good piano player who I need to like do this piece, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a, like, again, and we talked a bit about this last time, the idea of collaboration in pop music, at least. There's more space for that, I feel, because there's so many more sounds and so many more things. Like, whereas if you have like a rock album or like a metal album or a folk album, you know, or an album that's just where there's a band as opposed to an artist.
That's it. The classification of even just like someone who may be present themselves or be presented as like artist, singer, songwriter versus like here's a band.
Ed Sheeran's not going to have an orchestra play on every song, but some songs that might be nice. And who's going to arrange that? Who's going to play in the orchestra, right? Like things like that.
So. Whereas like, you know, when I played Dave Otero and I played like one of the bands like Arcspire, for example, it's like, that's a band. He produced that band. Yeah. So it's just like, it is kind of different.
And that band writes songs together.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas Ed Sheeran kind of writes some songs, but then he gets ideas from all over the place.
For sure.
Collaborates
for sure.
with different people. But I don't know why I'm picking on Ed Sheeran. That's just...
I mean, because
sub any pop star here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a great representation of that sort of single songwriter kind of pop singer. But yeah, so again, highlighting the different roles of a producer where someone may sort of potentially create something from the ground up and have a bird's eye view of the project in that capacity versus someone maybe more like Dave Otero, who's like, a band is coming to me with completed material. I'm listening to it. And Rick Rubin is like this too.
Yep.
A little bit, right? Kind of sort of saying like, I'm hearing this, but it seems to me like what you're trying to do is this. So let's focus a bit more on this as we record this project and get all this stuff down, right?
Yeah. Those types of people have a bit more maybe artistic vision as opposed to actual tangible involvement.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's why I sort of thought to say this concept of a bird's eye view of a song or a project is sort of indicative of the role of a producer, because though that may change, the vantage point may change slightly. It's like that role is the same of sort of overseeing the project, you know? Anyway, so I'm bringing one to the table today.
Okay.
And it's not Rick Rubin. But that's a great one to think about. When Wes and I decided to, you know, pursue this avenue in terms of, you know, a role in the music industry and questioning what it is exactly that defines it and what they do, I started thinking to myself, well, what is, so naturally I started with Dave Otero because metal is kind of my first foot forward, as it were. Then I tried to think in the pop context, and I was kind of like, who is a pop artist that I like and who produces them?
Okay.
And so it's a funny artist that I tend to always come back to when a question like that is posed, self-imposed or in like a group setting when we're talking about music or something. I thought about the artist Lady Gaga.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Incredibly talented, wide range of musical skills and abilities.
Yep. Lots of hits. Over the years.
Max Martin produced some of them and wrote
some
of them.
I'm sure. Yeah. It's possible that Max Martin picked up in the later days of her career.
Yes.
So here's the segue. I didn't know this, but found out when looking into it in some of the, like the first and second records that Lady Gaga put out. There is this producer by the name of Red One. Hmm. Never heard of them. That's not obviously... This may not surprise you. That's not their birth name. So let me just pull up really quickly. Nadir Kayat, Moroccan singer, songwriter, record producer, record executive. This is from Wikipedia, by the way. Currently, he holds the FIFA's creative entertainment executive position. considered one of the most
like FIFA, the soccer.
That's correct. Okay. Which is actually something I'm going to bring up in a sec. Considered one of the most influential record producer artists in contemporary music. So that's interesting because I feel like he maybe said that of himself. Just kidding. But
direct quote.
Yeah. Not to slight this person, but I feel like perhaps they're lesser known as a producer than, say, someone like Quincy Jones or Rick Rubin or whatever. But so I didn't realize this, but this person does, you know, they read one. They have created some of their own music. And then, yeah, they have like a hand in producing. They worked with, I think, Shakira and like a handful of other artists. But essentially, I think it's fair to say that they're one of their biggest, if not their biggest claim to fame, would be working with Lady Gaga. And I am going to, for the purposes of this episode, I'm going to focus on three songs that he produced.
All by Lady Gaga?
By Lady Gaga. Okay. In chronological order, Poker Face, Bad Romance, and Judas. Mm. So Judas is kind of a bit of a metal song, which is where my brain went first when I was like a pop artist. And I'm like, ooh, I love that song, Judas by by Lady Gaga. And then that's why I was like, oh, who produced that song? And then that's very easily, I was just like, oh, Red One, who's this person? So, you know, there's a little bit of a bio. So they, Red One and a few other artists, they did write this song called Welcome to Morocco, which is the official song of the FIFA Club World Cup championship or whatever from 2022. Hmm. So this is a song that, which is possibly why they were given that credit with like the executive entertainment creator or whatever from FIFA. So here's the thing though. What I'd like to say is in an attempt to continue to define the role of a producer, what I thought was interesting thinking of those three Lady Gaga songs that I mentioned in the role of Red One is that like there are some almost comical similarities or like identical traits between each of these songs. And it made me kind of think that, you know, like people who are working with Lady Gaga and or just like Red One, Lady Gaga maybe comes to Red One and says like, hey, this song was a hit. Let's try to just kind of continue to recreate that same song in a way that is similar but different, which is funny because it's kind of like a producer's role anyway. But yeah, so I was going to do Red One.
So go ahead. Yeah.
No, please.
No, I was just
looking like you're looking something up. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say in, you know, the little quick bit of reading I've done about him, he is definitely a person who was influenced by Max Martin and spent some time in Sweden learning from some of the folks there. So there's again, because you mentioned those Lady Gaga songs and instantly I think of the song Bad Romance. Like you're right. Judas is a great song.
It's a banger. Yeah.
The song Bad Romance has like three separate musical hooks that are all, you could write a song around each one of them.
Right.
And they're fantastic and they're catchy and they're simple. Right. So just that idea that we talked about last week is that same sort of piece where it's like sometimes less is more, especially in pop music when it comes to this melodical prowess. Right. Because it's not like an R&B song or like a jazz song or whatever, where we're really just showing off of our musical skill.
Yeah.
It's just what straight is digestible
and
memorable. As quick as can be.
Absolutely.
So I do find it interesting how this producer does have ties with sort of that Swedish.
Right. Well, production. it makes sense that if like, you know, if you're a producer, you're going to look to like the best in production. So it makes sense that, you know, Max Martin would be that person. But so what I thought maybe we could do quickly is like take a quick listen to some of the songs that he's created, like as where he is the he's created the music in addition to like producing the track. So this is the Welcome to Morocco song. I'll just fast forward a bit. A little bit of auto-tune there.
Welcome to Morocco.
There it is. Okay. Cool. That's actually pretty cool, like instrumentation there. I don't know if you noticed, but there was a bit of a pre-chorus there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting. So I think that song's a little bit different because it was very much a collaboration. There was a bunch of different artists that were there, yeah. Or rather like credited with that track. And it did say produced by Red One. Here's another one though. This one's called Don't You Need Somebody, featuring Shaggy, Enrique Iglesias, Sereya, and R-City. I may have pronounced that second last one wrong. So
I'm very intrigued to hear this.
Yeah. So, and the artist is Red One. It's like, this is him as the musical artist.
Okay,
like,
okay.
Obviously I'm sure I actually didn't read the liner notes. Like, I'm sure that he also produced it.
Yeah.
So there is a music video where there are like multiple people, huge name artists like Jennifer Lopez and other people who are like kind of singing along on the lyrics. I feel like this maybe was a video that was done in the pandemic and everyone was like at home, you know, filming with their cell phones or something. But anyway, let's quickly check out this one. Felt like that was a bit of a pre-chorus.
Yeah. Again.
Yeah. Anyway, so there you go. That's like, I mean, I feel like some quintessential pop elements there. Like,
oh, yeah. There's that four on the floor beat where it just, you know, like it's a lot of times people say, oh, I can't play music. I can't do these things. You can tap your foot to that.
Yeah.
Like it's very straightforward.
Yeah. Big time. And then even the sort of, quieter pre-chorus within the big group vocals for Don't You Need Somebody, you know what I mean? Like
just the slight harmonies there on all of the vocals, it seemed. There was like some doubles and some harmonies there.
Big time. And even that like, Welcome to Morocco, I feel like these are melodies and certain things that like anybody can sing along to, right? Which is cool. That's awesome. That's a very good feature of good production, I think, is like, just like,
and pop music, right? Like,
yeah,
the lyrics, as we talked about in the last episode, are inconsequential to what the art of popular music is.
Yeah, and even just like,
it's melodic hooks.
Quintessentially, it's just the melody. Yeah. And the ability of someone to,
a solid beat that is, you know, straightforward and doesn't change.
Yeah.
Right? Throughout the entire song. You can keep tapping your foot in the same rhythm throughout from start to finish. And you're going to be able to recognize some of those melodies and sing along with them again by the time that second hook comes back around.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they're so simple and short.
But I think also,
and there's nothing wrong with simple. I just want to say
Like, and I think that, you know, what we're talking about in the context of pop music and the role of a producer in pop music, it's like you are trying to create those things that just make it easy for anybody to sing and dance along to.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that you pointed out the kind of quarter note thing just at like, you know, just like, there's the beat. There's no like a rhythmic pattern like needing to sort of think about and be like, oh, what exactly are they doing? Like, what's that timing?
You're in a while, we might get hi-hats on the eighth note, right?
Like,
that's
or like
it, though.
Like a tom roll or something. Yeah. But even still, that four on the floor kick drum is probably still happening. And this is just an incredible segue, too. So, again, I'm like, my sort of my mission today is to attempt to compare the similarities between these songs, these Lady Gaga songs, which Red One produced.
Okay.
And I did make a couple notes. The very first one that I wrote was quarter note drums.
Right.
So every song just has that like boom, 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 boom throughout, where there's not even like boom, 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 boom,
no,
boom, boom, right? It's not even that. It's just boom, boom. Like, So right away, and I think Lady Gaga's music is like pretty high energy, certainly in this era, like the earlier stuff that she would have done. It's pretty high energy. And if you think of that, like, you know, classic EDM or dance music or something like that, it's always just a, like, doom, 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 doom. Even so, though, you might get a, like, doom, 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 right? Yeah. This is not that. This is just, like...
this is not that.
Yeah. So, and we'll hear this throughout, but some quick notes is, like, Poker Face and Bad Romance are pretty much the same tempo.
Mm-hmm.
And again, so Poker Face came out first on Lady Gaga's first album.
It was like one of her big first like hits, right?
Big time. Yeah. And that's 2008. And then and that's called The Fame. And then the album's called The Fame. And then there was The Fame Monster, which was released as an EP. But then it was like later kind of repackaged as a reissued version of The Fame, where it was like it had these new songs from The Fame Monster EP that were also in conjunction with The Fame record. And it was like, and again, so that was 2009. And then in 2011, Born This Way, which is her second album, came out, which features the song Judas.
Mm-hmm.
So chronologically, it's Poker Face, Bad Romance, Judas. And so Poker Face was a big song, obviously. And so essentially what I'm getting at here is it's like, I think that Poker Face established the template with which the following two songs followed, where there are literally like the same kind of elements. And I think that it's fair to say that Poker Face was Red One credited as a producer, and then Bad Romance and Judas were Red One and Lady Gaga.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel like they kind of came to the table and they're like, Poker Face was a hit. Let's do that again.
Yeah.
The same way, but different, but the same.
It's hilarious you're going down this avenue, because when I used to do, like, I did a bit of wedding DJing for a bit, and the chorus of Poker Face, I would always mix into the chorus of Bad Romance.
Oh, so that's,
you know,
kind of one of my notes. Yes. Did you read my notes ahead of time?
I have yet to see them.
So here what I'm going to do, I'm just going to kind of quickly go through. I'm going to do my best to do this in a fast way, but let's just talk first about how, Bad Romance and Judas essentially have the same intro. So let's check this out here. I'm just getting these queued up. Here's Bad Romance. Okay, just even quickly, watch. There's Bad Romance, here's Judas. So it's like
vocal in terms of the elements that are there, it's the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, and like
a synthy pad and some,
no other music.
Yeah. And some vocal.
Just synths and like the main chord progression that's introduced for the choruses and more or less through the whole song, and that vocal.
Yeah.
And so, and again, Bad Romance, like that's the one that started it off, right? So, and then after that, it's just like they're, now Poker Face starts a little bit different, but still. Like, that's, I think it's fair to say that that comparison, though, is like every song has an intro, and like that one does feel a little bit different. What I meant to point out, though, is those first two songs, it's like you hit play right away. It's like, they're singing the melody, and it's like pretty much the same melody with the same stuff underneath.
The similar thing to the Weeknd song that we listened to last time with Max Martin, right? Like the first 20 seconds of the song, we know the song.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's going to be no surprise.
So it's that same idea. Yeah, for sure. And then another thing that. So Poker Face and Bad Romance are essentially the same tempo.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just play quickly Poker Face. Like it almost even be interesting to snap it like. So like that. OK, you got that. Keep that going. See if you can keep going. And then here's Bad Romance.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah. Wow.
That's like, if they're, that's maybe like one BPM off or something like that. But so essentially those are.
Well, that's what made mixing those two songs doing a DJ set so easy.
Of course.
Was because the BPM was so very, very close that you would have to adjust it just slightly to keep that, again, quarter note backbeat always happening. And those two chorus parts. Because melodically, again, those hooks are there, right? Like they're interesting.
Okay, and then now, so what I noticed too is like between Poker Face and Bad Romance, the verse melodies felt to me as though they are essentially the same. And so again, Poker Face comes out first and then Bad Romance like a year later. And it does just feel very much like they are just, again, like, I know that this is kind of all part of the game, but just like very clearly being like, let's just do the same thing again. Okay, so here's Poker Face. Here's the verse. I wanna hold them like they do in Texas, please. Fold them, let them hit me, raise it, baby, stay with me. Okay, Poker Face, here comes Bad Romance. I want you ugly, I want you disease. Like, yeah. They're pretty similar, like just that idea of da 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 da, like hitting that root note, that octave, da 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 da, like they both just kind of started like that to me, and they do sound different. But again, I'm just trying to think, like, for them creating that song, they're like, the verse is like, to me, it just feels like the same.
And again, if you strip that down to somebody playing an acoustic guitar and singing, it's the same.
I'm happy you said that, because I was gonna actually do that for the next example that I have, which is that. Perfect. Judas and Bad Romance basically have the same chorus. They're in different keys, and it's like, I think for anyone listening, I appreciate you maybe like stretching your imagination a little bit. But within the context of me kind of saying, like, you know, these people are essentially just recreating, they're doing the same thing but playing it like a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just see if I got these timestamps right. Yes. Okay. So let's start with Bad Romance. Here's a Bad Romance chorus. Right? Okay, so here's Judas. So, and like they, this is where I am going to pull out the guitar. So we're doing like for Bad Romance, it's like Judas baby. That's hilarious. Yeah, that's not what I meant to do though. That's Bad Romance. So it's like that. And then for Judas it goes anyway, so it's like, I guess that's, I need anyone listening, I need to be a little generous with that. They're not exactly the same, but it's kind of like,
it's not the exact same chord progression, but the structure in terms of what chords you would use in a sequence, are similar. And you're right, those two, sonically, the massive kick drum snare sound of both of those choruses were almost identical.
Yes. Okay, here's something though that is literally the same with each song. And, you know, you and I were speaking about in the, with the Max Martin episode, you made a point of like highlighting how the pre-chorus is a thing, and justifiably so. Like, that's a really cool kind of aspect of the song structure and just creating dynamics within a song.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, what's really hilarious is that each song has a like rap, drum heavy kind of rap breakdown.
Okay.
Okay, so again, you know, these are different songs. Musically, they sound kind of different, but essentially they all have this characteristic, which is like a rap style bridge. Okay, so maybe we can start with Poker Face. I won't tell you that I love you, just a hug you, cause I'm bluffing with my muffin. I'm not lying, I'm just stunning with my love glue gunning, just like a chicken. Okay, so there's Poker Face. And then I guess we can move kind of chronologically. We can go to Bad Romance. Right.
Yeah.
And then finally over to Judas. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like the same. I mean, they're different.
Almost dawns like a British accent for all three of those, too.
Yeah. So they are different. But again, it's just like...
They're different in that, they're different you know, movements and phrasing and whatever, but they're the same in that the formula of the song, if we take a step back and look at how do you write a pop song, all three of these songs share similar elements in that intro, deep synthy bass with melodic hook, verse one, you know,
like
quarter note backbeat starts
exactly
with, you know, sort of hitting on that root note as you identified pre-chorus, right? Like all three of these songs have this chorus, big melodic hook comes back.
Exactly.
Bridge, tear it down.
Rap bridge. Yeah.
Back to the
and
chorus.
Then, like, and then send it home. And so the funny thing is too, like Judas and then also Bad Romance, they kind of finish with this like this is the hear those like bigger vocals.
The big vocals.
So like they both kind of finish where it's just like when they kind of come back to that chorus. See.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So both of those songs, it's like okay, we're gonna send it home. We're gonna send it home with the chorus, but like the way that we'll send it off is you have these like really really big vocals to kind of send it home. And again, both times those chorus repeats two times at the end. So. Again, it's like it's just interesting how, and also when we were talking about the song structure, again, how for two of those songs, like the tempo is the same. So they're like, yeah, let's try to recreate the same song. We'll keep the tempo the same. We'll change some of the chords or whatever. But like fundamentally, I just feel like these songs are all the same.
Well, it's interesting. I wonder what the process of creating that was like, whether it was a very conscious decision of, this is how we're writing the song, or, you know, you have like an acoustic rendition of it and then be like, okay, let's start at the top and like, let's do the, you know, and then this is not that this is what's worked, whether it's conscious or subconscious,
right,
it's just
right.
like, this is where we're comfortable, right? In terms of songwriting. Like I think of when we talked about Max Martin last time, across artists, a lot of his songs sound the same.
Yeah.
And have those similar characteristics of that quarter note backbeat. But again, this is what pop music is, right? And these are identifiable aspects to pop music that make it so digestible.
Yeah.
And you know, somewhat homogenous and watered down and all of these things.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's part of it. And again, like, I don't want to slag on pop music because there's a lot of valuable aspects to it.
For
it's
sure.
popular for a reason, right?
Yeah.
People connect with it, and that's great.
And lots of people connect
and that's
it, yeah.
amazing, right? Like,
yeah.
But in terms of like, yeah, formulaic, there's definitely a plus B equals C.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing. And I feel like the way that you look at it is pretty generous, where I think it's more positive, and you even mentioned how there's a possibility of like a subconscious role
sure.
in the creative process where I can't help but think, again, especially because it's like these two people working together again.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, and I really feel like you can hear other examples of this from artists where they have a huge song and then the next record comes out and the single that they release is more or less
the same
kind of song.
Yeah.
And I just can't help but feel like this is where the sort of like business side of things, the overarching, the bird's eye view of the whole of the artist as a whole and the business behind it looks at it in terms of the production and says, let's just do that again because we know it makes money. Even with like movies, right?
Yeah.
Like, why do you think sequels happen? Because it's
prequels.
Like, this was a hit.
Trios.
We're just going to do it again and try to make money. Maybe we won't make as much or whatever, but like we're guaranteed to make at least this much. Let's do that. So I couldn't help but feel that with this, again, not as a slight to either artist. They obviously are like very talented and, you know, like good at what they do. I just thought it was hilarious when I was thinking about Lady Gaga and then Red One and then listening to, you know, after listening to Judas, I was like, what are other Lady Gaga songs? And then I started listening and being like, these are the same song.
All the same song.
You know?
Yeah.
I suppose with this episode, I didn't necessarily mean to, I feel my bias came across where I was sort of negatively highlighting these aspects, but
I don't think it was negative. I think what this episode serves is to show that there is a formulaic nature to pop music.
Exactly. That's
right?
what it is.
And there's a structure to what quote unquote
works
in
and
that,
what doesn't
in that sphere. But the You know, I think all of this conversation makes me realize we need to do an episode around music that we, I mean, we did the metal thing,
yeah,
which was cool.
I like Dave Otero. Yeah.
But I think we need to explore. I think we've tied the bow on pop music and what production
great,
is in pop music.
Great point. Yeah. Let's find a producer who produces music we actually like.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but this was good. This was informative. And I think it's, if we take a step back and look at the point of this conversation is what is production? What does producers do?
Yeah.
These are things that producers do.
Yep.
Right. They come in and say, hey, you have this acoustic demo of a song. Let's turn it into a massive hit. And this is how we do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we know this is what works. You know, I think there's always space for innovation, especially in creative elements like music.
Yeah.
And that happens.
Of pop music.
Right.
Yeah.
And you'll hear somebody come out with something weird and cool and different once in a while. And then there'll be a million bands that do that same thing.
Yeah.
So,
that just recreated.
Anyways,
that's fine. Yeah.
That's the cyclical nature of commerce, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and the business of music always plays a role in terms of the
but there's still things to take away in that space and
absolutely
and,
yeah
and you know while it's definitely very you know formulaic as we've said there's still some cool elements to it and
yeah I feel like the expression like give credit where credit is due comes to mind. It's like even if you feel even if you may feel negatively towards some of the identifying aspects that we've put forward in relation to pop music and producing pop music, it's like at the end of the day somebody like Red One and Lady Gaga, like those are three big hits for Lady Gaga. They obviously did something right there. You know, whether it's maybe a little less like emotionally or creatively inspired and maybe more an extension of the machine that is pop music, who knows? Well, maybe we'll never know, but at any rate they did it right. So I know for sure Red One and Lady Gaga, you're both listening. So hopefully we did these songs justice. And for everyone else, thank you very much for listening. Appreciate it. More on the subject of producers coming up. And also songs that we actually like.